Initially, most Americans considered the break-in at the Watergate to be a non-story. It appeared to be nothing more than political shenanigans, and Republicans managed to keep it off the front pages in advance of the presidential election. But the story did not go away. Richard Philippink of Western Illinois University's History Department says that's because there was a lot more to it.
As Nixon knew right from the outset, this was real potential trouble. The Nixon administration had engaged in this kind of behavior before. Indeed, this was the actual second successful break-in at Watergate. They had planted bugs initially and photographed documents a couple weeks earlier and had tried to break in two previous times. They also had two unsuccessful break-in attempts at McGovern's headquarters. So it's not just an isolated incident, and it's part of this sort of pattern of behavior that the Nixon administration felt that people were their enemies. And if you were their enemies, they had the right to do whatever they had to bring you into line.
What were these burglars seeking this time during this break-in at the Watergate?
Well, part of the second break-in was to fix bugs placed in the first break-in. One of them wasn't actually working. As to their actual motives, there's a whole host of potential reasons. Most of them were political. Some of them were personal for Nixon.
Did Nixon really need to do these types of things to win the election?
By that point, no. What you have to keep in mind is when these things were planned, Nixon was not doing very well in the polls. That for most of 1971, Nixon was seen as a potential one-term president. That as late as January of 72, Gallup polls had him running in a dead heat with the Democratic frontrunner Edmund Muskie. So in the immediate weeks after that Gallup poll is when this program was planned, when G. Gordon Liddy met with John Mitchell, the head of Nixon's campaign, and talked about what would become known as Operation Gemstone, the intelligence and dirty tricks campaign. And so at the time they were being planned, these seemed necessary. By June, not so much. By June, George McGovern's the front runner. He's the person that Nixon wants to run against. And so it's not seemingly as necessary. That said, some of those dirty tricks helped put McGovern in that place. It had influenced who the Democrats chose. So yes and no.
How do you think Watergate still affects us today? Does it?
It does. It turns it into an era of hyperpartisanship. Prior to this point, if you read about relations among senators and among congressmen, with a handful of exceptions, they at least accepted that members of the other party were doing what was best for America. They may not agree with their positions and stances, but at least you agreed that we were all working for the same goal, which Nixon did as president and then as ex-president is emphasize the politics of division. That's Nixon's stock and trade, that you're not just my opponent, you're my enemy. You're not just wrong, you're evil. And so that bringing that to the table and bringing that to the fore becomes an integral part of American politics through to today, that you can't work together, that if you agree to compromise, you're betraying the cause.
Do you think the Republican attacks on Bill Clinton are a response to Watergate? Hey, you got one of our guys, so we have to get one of yours now.
I think that's absolutely the case. If you think about some of the people who were involved in those attacks, in particular in the Senate side, Trent Lott, he's a member of the House. He's one of the last people who said that he won't vote for Nixon's impeachment because you never vote for your own party's president to be impeached. And so, yes, there is definitely a sense of you got one of ours, we got one of yours, and that's part of Nixon's legacy.
Would you say Richard Nixon was his own worst enemy?
Absolutely. Nixon had those inner demons that drove him throughout his life. The same things that made him ambitious enough and self-confident enough to become president of the United States also drove him to, again, see anybody who was an opponent as an enemy, to have deep and abiding hatreds, to have deep and abiding grudges, and to never, ever let them go.
Historian Richard Philippink says it's important to remember that President Richard Nixon was involved in Watergate from the start. Philippink says Nixon might not have planned the break-in, but he was aware it happened and took charge of the cover-up. Rich Egger reporting.